Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you cool kids and crazy cats. Welcome to another exciting episode of the greatest podcast that has ever been produced in the history of all man. I am Ryan. I am joined by Brad.
Hey.
And we are the Real Nerds Podcast. Every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw Red One. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then spoil it. We'll also talk about films we watched, possibly movie news. Who knows? We're a movie podcast. We watch movies. We have fun. Brad, I don't. Is it something you can talk about? If not, you're gonna have to bleep this whole thing out. What I'm gonna say. I noticed that you are an archivist at the Esquire.
Yeah, I'm the lead archivist at the EsquireArchive.org, a organization I established myself. And as one employee.
Oh, cool. So it's like a passion project for you.
Yep. Just another excuse for me to not make money with my time. When the Esquire went under in the Chez Artiste, and I got all those posters and memorabilia things, the idea was to turn that into an archive where people who wanted to experience that memorabilia and get some of it, could get it. But my idea was in exchange for donations to art causes and the employees who lost their jobs. So, it's been about 6 months and I've been paying for the storage unit. I don't want to pay for it anymore. So it's time to move this merchandise.
Gotcha. So it's not out of the kindness of your heart.
A little bit of kindness.
Okay.
Like, I do want the website to be like, experience of feeling like you were going to the Esquire, and learning about the history of it and feeling like you went there without actually going there. But yeah, also to just get all this merchandise out of my storage unit.
Nice. Well, congrats on your new job that you don't make money at.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's what I'm here for. Yeah. Cool. So Brad, do you recommend Red One?
It's mid, as the kids say.
Is that what kids say? I don't know. I'm so out of touch with reality and kids nowadays. I don't even know how they talk.
I think the best way to destroy that stuff is get like older, uncool people to like it, which is what I'm doing.
Love it.
It's obviously looks very expensive and the characters are sort of charming, but like, I don't know if the whole complete story experience was that interesting to me. It's kind of like go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm probably in the same boat where, you know, the characters are charming. But like the CGI was so shoddy and I will talk about it after we play the trailer, but I mean, if someone asked me they wanted to see a holiday film that has no weight attached to it and is just an escape movie, I mean, you can recommend this movie. It's fine. Here's a trailer for Red One.
Rockin' around Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. This will go all the way you can.
Jack.
Who plays?
Welcome to the North Pole.
Come again?
You see what I see?
Last night, Red One, also known as St. Nicholas of Myra, was abducted.
Are you saying Santa Claus has been kidnapped?
You're the best tracker in the world. You're gonna help us find him.
I work alone. You used to. I'm not gonna like you. I can tell right away, out of everyone here, I like you the least. Garcia?
What the hell?
Shall we do the thing? I'm afraid we're gonna have to.
You're mine until we find him.
Oh, God!
I suggest you get going.
Claws!
You see what I see.
We doing some last-minute Christmas shopping?
Toy stores.
Toy stores what?
The supply closets are portal stations for the North Pole transit system. Grab a car. We're gearing up.
How did...
I adjusted its reality.
And does that...
No, it doesn't work on everything. No, you can't try it. No, you can't drive. No more questions. Now get in.
Whoever took Nick...
They're extremely dangerous.
With a tail as big as a kite.
I think if you don't need me here, I might just go back to the car.
We are 24 hours to Christmas.
We need to find him. Let's save Christmas. Say it.
I'm not going to say that.
Things are about to get real.
Cover us.
We got snowmen!
Well, it was nice to meet you, Cal. Good luck with everything.
Red One stars Dwayne Johnson as the head security guy of Elf, and Elf is the security team that protects Santa. What I did like about this movie is Santa is known throughout the world, and he's under the protection of the government under a mythical agency that deals with the supernatural. And his cover is blown and he's kidnapped, and it's up to the Rock with Chris Evans' character. I forget his name now. It's Billy, maybe. Is that right? Jack.
I don't remember. I think it's Jack.
Jack.
Jack O'Malley.
Who doesn't like Christmas and doesn't like his kid. And you know how it's going to go, you know, because it's a holiday film. So he's, you know, kind of a deadbeat dad, but he really likes his kid. And the only reason he's a deadbeat dad is because he thinks his kid doesn't like him because he's a deadbeat dad. And then they find out that the kid really wants the dad to be involved in his life. And the dad reluctantly becomes involved with his life. But around all of that is the look for Santa. J.K. Simmons plays Santa Claus, and he's great in it. He has a I did like the scene where he's working out, and I love the idea of that Santa is like this huge buff guy. He has to be to have all this energy to deliver all these toys. And, you know, he has a scene with The Rock when he's working out about, you know, don't give up on people. And The Rock is, you know, people suck, dick. And
quote from the movie.
Because he's kidnapped by some witch and she's trying to steal his power to put all the naughty people into snow globes. And so there's no more bad people in the world. Yeah, and that's pretty much the story.
Did you already do the trailer?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, maybe a hot take here, but I don't know why they should have stopped Gryla from enacting her plan. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to see all the shittiest people in the world stuck in a snow globe. Might have been a... I don't know why Santa Claus is like, nope, even the shittiest people on earth should be able to celebrate Christmas. And
well, because remember, there's some good people in there.
Some good bad people? Like,
yeah, well, there's good and bad people is what he's saying.
Yeah, but Gryla wasn't going to capture all the bad people. She's just like, yeah, Santa Claus is this ineffective dude, and I'm going to like... I'm going to do what he should have done all these years. Like,
so you sympathize with the villain?
A little bit. Like, in these times, I'm just like, man, the shittiest people kind of get away with everything now. Like, why not, go along with this plan? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's, the movie was actually a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. And I think it gets by on the charisma of the people that are in it. Because, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves, especially because when we see Wicked next week, they have sets that look alive and that they're there. In this film, it costs $100 million more than Wicked. And you can tell that, you know, The Rock and Chris Evans are just standing in front of green screens, when they're in the North Pole. Or when they have The Rock running through the North Pole and jumping on rooftops, they still have not mastered in some films CGI characters running, and it really takes me out of the movie. I don't know. It's something that I wouldn't expect in a $250 million movie.
Yeah. Who's to say? I
think like the snowmen looked really cool, and I accept those CGI. You know what I mean? I thought it was cool that like the snowmen, and even when they went and saw Krampus, I wanted them to stay in that world more. Like I loved that there's like this underbelly demon Christmas area, and they did, you know, smack the shit out of each other. I don't know. I like that idea. Because all the creatures in there looked really cool.
Yeah, I think some of those were like animatronic or prosthetics, at least. So that was good. This movie has that level of CGI where it's like, yeah, it's good, but there's just like something still off and missing.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, it feels like other movies in the past decade, like the Marvel movies before Endgame, mastered really well. But I think because they're like pumping these out and just spending tons of money just to get them out. Like, they just needed a new Christmas movie for some reason.
Because you see the Krampus stuff and all those monsters, and they're cool. And then the witch at the end, when she becomes this all-powerful witch, looks like a Resident Evil bad guy. And, like, with the same level of rendering that I see on my PlayStation 4. Not even PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4.
I think at some point they're like, well, it's going to cost maybe another $50 million to get this perfect. And they're like, this is a Christmas movie for kids. And they're just be like speeding through it while they're listening to a podcast. You know, it's like, it's fine. It's done. Like, good enough. That's the level it feels like to me.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there is some creative stuff in here. I keep on going back to the Krampus stuff. I really liked his, sleigh. Had that, the chanting dudes and
The chanting like engine thing that was cool. Some cool logistics things of like how, you know, a high-tech Santa Claus work. You know, they show the roped off original factory, and then like, you know, the modern one's like so tricked out, but like they also explain like how it worked. And actually I was wondering, like, where's Rudolph? Like, he's not part of the reindeer.
They don't
talk about him at all.
Well, I think Rudolph is actually a trademark. I don't know if you can use them in non.
Was Rudolph
things.
Created by like the people who did the animation? Was that?
No. So he actually was created, if I remember right, I think he was created by a department store, and they made that cartoon around it.
Gotcha. That makes sense. But yeah, it's a weird omission if you like have general knowledge of Christmas and like he's not there. That's weird.
Yeah, and I agree, but and you know there are some fun things that you know, the reindeer do run off of carrots, and the reason Santa needs cookies is because he burns energy so much.
Yeah.
Because even when at the end, when he's running through the towns, even though the CGI is a little off there, I love the idea that he can make himself small to get into areas, and yeah, that's how he delivers the presence too. Like, it's really fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great touch. Like, yeah, I just love how they explain how, you know, more scientifically that he could achieve what he does in an evening.
Yeah, and I was right. I got the department store wrong. It was Montgomery Ward. And he Rudolph is owned by the Rudolph Company LP, so he is literally owned by.
But I think I have seen like other movies where they've had like a Rudolph in it. I just can't remember any of them because I don't keep track of Christmas movies that much. I feel like, you know, Ernest Saves Christmas had a Rudolph in it or something.
Yeah, so they could get permission or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they spent for it. I don't know.
Yeah, and then, you know, like I said, I think, you know, Chris Evans is good in it. The Rock is good in it. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like something was missing, and it might be just because it's a big budgeted holiday movie that was supposed to go to straight to streaming on Amazon, and they decided to release it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine having that much money, and that's how much money you spent on that movie? If I was that, like, who financed that, I'd be kind of annoyed. I said, why did I spend all this money if you're just going to do CGI stuff? but I also liked Miss Claus in this, where she was actually the logistics person of the whole operation.
Yeah.
She wasn't just some, you know, goodly wife or whatever, you how you don't describe her. She was kind of the brains of the operation, and I thought it was kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much to say about the movie.
It's not deep.
No. Yep.
Yeah, and the whole story with Jack and his kid is just like, I've seen this before so many times.
It's literally Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Santa's Turbo Man, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about how the dad's never there and he only cares about his work. And
yeah, that's a lot of movies. Like, that's Hook.
Yeah. If only there was, you know, a skeezy Phil Hartman next door, then we'd definitely have Jingle All the Way. I honestly think I've seen Jingle All the Way every year for the last like 5 years because my wife and kid love it.
You don't love it?
It's an okay movie. It's definitely okay.
It was a Esquire last year.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Huh. It is, you know, I think it's gotten more popular as more years have passed, because for a long time, it was definitely one of those movies that seemed to be a black mark on Schwarzenegger's career.
Yeah, I saw when it came out in theaters, and yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. But I think Conan O'Brien, referencing it for years after that. Was that him? Someone else? Like, someone would shout Jingle All the Way or something. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like some comedian. I thought it was him. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's kind of come back around.
You know, it's probably a lot like this movie. It's not deep, but it's, you know, just a holiday movie. And it's elevated by the stars that are in the film.
Yeah. And now that Phil Hartman's dead, that's another thing of like, oh, there's like a movie you can watch him in that he's really good. So like that elevates it.
True. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have any movie news for the week. That's Everybody was on Thanksgiving dumb. Break. Holidays, people aren't working. I did watch this really cool interview with Tom Cruise, and he was talking about how hard it is for him to run in films because he has to conserve his energy for certain times, but he also has to make it look really intense. And so he has to know how many times he's going to do it without knowing how many times he has to do the scene. So it's a balance between being, you know, giving it your all, but also conserving your energy. And that's why he's always in great shape. It was a really cool interview.
Well, even more now, because he's like in his 60s now, right?
I think he just turned 60, yes.
62, yeah. So he's run out of time to run, effectively.
Nah, dude, he's ageless. He looks like he's like in his 40s. Tom Cruise is eternity, bro.
Tom Cruise is eternal.
Come on. Yeah, hey, we watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
I guess the big thing, because it took me a few days to do, is I watched The Penguin.
Oh, you know, it's in my queue. Is that good?
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that I think drags it down is there's a couple places where they do this thing that Gotham did later seasons, where characters get captured and then something rescues them fortuitously and conveniently and gets them out of it. And a lot of the set pieces take place in the same places. So you kind of go back and forth between the same sets across, I think it was 9 episodes. So that part feels cheap to me. Like if you watch The Batman and The Penguin, the production design, while high end for a TV show, is still kind of like doesn't match, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not Greg Fraser's cinematography, you know, but it's like premium production value anyway, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the only, knocks against it are the fact that like a bunch of this, situations kind of go back to the same locations and then, characters, are captured dead to rights and then just like miraculously this thing comes and saves them and gets them out of it. So that's a little weak, but Colin Farrell's great in it again, obviously.
It's always a trip to me because it looks nothing like him.
Yeah.
He literally loses himself in that role.
He disappears and like that makeup never cracks, throughout all the episodes. They introduce new characters. The series starts out with a shocking punch to the gut that kind of sets everything off, and like the whole series turns his version of the Penguin into like an A-list villain. It's like the best adaptation of that character I think on screen they've ever done. And then the last episode, just when you think like this character's grown in a good way, they kick you in the nuts again and like, oh yeah, this guy is a fucking piece of shit. And he's like one of the worst people in Gotham. He's probably like worse than Carmine Falcone in the movie. It's just a great deconstruction of that character. And Sophia Falcone herself, like they spent a lot of time developing her character.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but because I know who she is from How I Met Your Mother, I heard she's like the breakout of the series.
Yeah, because like there's like stretch in the middle where the Penguin really isn't the focus of the story. It kind of like he's the bookends and she's like the middle. And so it's kind of like a backdoor Sophia Falcone story. So that's another knock against it. It's not really like just 100% the Penguin's journey. There's a significant amount of time devoted to just her without the Penguin. So, yeah. But yeah, it's top tier stuff, and it dips a little in the middle, but like the beginning and the end are just like the reasons to watch. Like, I can't believe like it ended the way it did. It's just like, are you kidding me? Like, that is fucked up.
Sweet. Now I really got to watch it.
Yeah. Let's see. I also watched, the last thing I watched, I guess, is Foxy Brown. It was playing at the Alamo and I didn't have anything else to do, so I was like, I guess I should probably watch this like classic film as I understand it. And I don't know, man, like I put my head in like the 1974 to like, okay, this is where I need to appreciate it from, because obviously it's inappropriate in a lot of ways today, but even back then it's just like story-wise I'm like, people, like, it's not like she has a lot of great one-liners. and yeah, it's, she's like able to do some action, but it's not the best. And then, I think Pam Grier's doing the best she can with some really shitty, a shitty script. But yeah, there wasn't a lot for me to love about it. It was just okay, this is a thing. I get its place in history, but as a story, this wasn't that interesting. Afterwards, I immediately watched Black Dynamite and oh, this is the best blaxploitation movie I've ever seen. So yeah.
Yeah, daddy. Black Dynamite.
Yeah. So really weird. Almost towards the end, she gets captured by the person doing the human trafficking, and her punishment is they send her to this hillbilly's ranch where they basically beat and rape her, and then she blows up their house and escapes. But then the rest of the movie acts like that wasn't a big deal. It's a big deal to her, but the movie just really doesn't sit on the consequences of that at all. You know, it's not like she goes to a rape clinic or anything afterwards. Yeah.
Mm.
She's like, oh, that sucked. Well, back to work. That's kind of how it felt watching it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so iconic, that, you know, it's just iconic, I guess, with the lack for a better word, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, a movie in 1974 with a black female lead, you know, that's not just this damsel in distress. That's pretty significant. But if that wasn't the thing you're focused on, I'd just be like, this dialogue sucks. These people don't act well. You know, the action is very much oh, they missed that punch, you know, that didn't connect level of stuff. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, what'd you watch?
You know, I've been rewatching How I Met Your Mother. I love that show. It's really funny. It's fun going back after and watching a show you haven't watched in a long time. Because you forget character beats, and why the show endures for as long as it has. So that's been really fun rediscovering. I'm going to, probably do The Office next. It's been a while since I've sat and watched The Office. So I'm looking forward to that. The one movie I watched is Vinegar Syndrome Denver, which used to be The Archive. They're moving locations, but their new store isn't ready, but they've been doing a pop-up every once in a while. So I went there for their pop-up, and I got this film that I didn't know even was a trauma film until Zach Bynes told me online. It's called They Call Me Macho Woman. And I got it because Vinegar Syndrome does these really cool commissioned slipcovers for some of their stuff. And this one is this woman in her shirt's all torn and she has an axe on her hip. And I didn't even read the description of the movie. I was like, fuck it, I'll get it. And the film is about a woman and her real estate agent going to look at a house in the hills of California. And before they can get to the house, they're attacked by this gang of ruthless killers. And this gang of guys, they're not just killers, Brad. They manufacture drugs. And
they're Black Dynamite. I sell drugs in the community.
Their leader is a guy named Mongo. And he wears a spiked thing on his head, and he hits people in their heads with it. So he kills them. So anyways, she's attacked by these guys, and for the first 50 minutes of the film, she's trying to get away. Then she's picked up by these guys on the side of the road, and all they want to do is see her naked. And then she fights back against those guys, and then those guys are rightfully killed by the drug guys. And then the drug guys keep chasing her. And then she decides, no, I'm done with this shit. And she starts, she gets the axe I was talking about. She gets all these other weapons. And she confronts the drug dealers at their house. And this one guy comes down. He's the Asian guy. And he says, I am a black belt in karate. And she fucking kills him.
Does she ever say, let me ask you a question?
Dude, I wish. I can't remember the dialogue, but the dialogue is so insane. It's so on the nose. I can't remember specific stuff, but it'd be, you know, oh my God, you punched me in the face. And it's poorly acted. But because how insane the movie is, and I mean, there's some really cool gore parts in it, but how insane the movie is, it's entertaining, if that makes sense. Like, I had fun watching it. So, like, I don't know if I can recommend it to people, but if you're in the mood for a cheesy, like, late 80s, early 90s movie, it's definitely a fun one. And the soundtrack is kind of in your face. It's definitely synth, and it's always there. But there's something to be said about that, making that kind of film. And then when I was getting into the special features, which there's tons on this disc. So, you know, that's what I love about Vinegar Syndrome too. They take these really obscure titles and they give them the A+ treatment on home video. Mm-hmm. And the interviews are really cool because they talk about that it even wasn't a trauma film originally, that it was made and then Lloyd Kaufman picked it up because he liked the idea of a strong female protagonist, you know, killing people. And then he also, because they have an interview with Lloyd Kaufman on the disc, he talks about, he thinks that's why maybe it didn't do as well as his other trauma films, is because he didn't think people were ready for a female to be that strong and kill men in that way, which again was interesting for him to say. So yeah, it's just a fun movie, and the box art is really cool. I got the last slip cover there, though. I don't know how many more there are. They only made, like, I think 2,000 of the slip covers. But yeah, Cry, They Call Me Macho Woman is like a fun revenge thriller with horrible acting and insane dialogue. And that's what I watched this week.
Did you ever talk about watching Sudden Death?
Maybe not. I did watch Sudden Death.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I remember that you did. I was like, did you ever talk about that? Because I'm really curious what he thought of Sudden Death.
I had fun.
Actually, now I think about it, maybe you did.
I think I did.
Yeah, because the mascot part. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely did talk about it.
Never mind.
Yep. Hey, Brad, next week we're seeing Wicked. That should be fun.
Yeah, maybe.
Stay tuned for that. And I think Zach and Corinne might join us on this one, so we'll have a full house.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Nice of them to join us for a regular episode.
I know. We're finally important enough.
Can you believe Corinne hasn't been on a regular episode since the Marvels of last year?
Wow.
Yeah. November. Last November, of all things.
I think it's actually the same. It's like almost exactly a year.
Yeah.
Weird.
Only thinks film explosions are worth her time.
Wow. Now we know. Now we know. So that should be fun. Until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!